Radio Sport.
Faster May, a very good evening to you. Welcome along to Saturday Sport Classified. It is the 28th of November, and what a jam-packed show I have for you today. We've got everything from walking to weightlifting to shooting. So after a long, heavy 24 hours, a local weightlifter is now an official world record holder.
Is that it?
Two local teens with Olympic dreams are scouted for a British talent pathway.
I think it'd be great to go to the Commonwealth Games.
For me, ultimately, the top goal will be the Olympics.
And it's been an exciting day in the world of rugby. Did Douglas South do enough to keep Douglas North's hands off the Manx trophy? Plus, a big result for Backers A in the women's hockey prem. And, of course, we have all the latest football results, junior netball fixtures and more news on the Parish Walk. Welcome to the show. Lovely to have you back along with me. Very quickly, before we get to today's results, a big congratulations must go out to local weightlifter Sam Murphy, who is now, as previously mentioned, an official world record holder.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Is that it?
Yesterday, Murphy set out to beat the record for the most weight deadlifted in 24 hours. And not only did he meet American man Kenji Elric's 500,500 kilograms, he managed another 19,614 kilograms on top of that. So in total, Sam deadlifted 520,072 kilograms in one day. And he's not solely in it for the title, though, or the fun of it. The Manx weightlifter is raising money for Movember. So a huge well done to that man, and now official world record holder within our midst. Now, the results, as always, if I'm missing any and you have the details, do drop me a message, 166 177. It'd be great to hear from you. Starting in the football in the Canada Life Premier League, Douglas All Boys 1, Maroon 3, Air 1, Corinthians 5, Douglas Athletic 0, Russian 7, Ramsey 3, St George's 4. JCK Division 2, Foxdale 2, Braddon 2, Onchan 4, Castletown 1, Ramsey Youth Centre 4, Jims 1, Union Mills 16, Pulrose 2. In Combi 1 and the Russian and Douglas Athletic game, that's been postponed. So moving on to St George's 6, Ramsey 1. St John's 3, Douglas Old Boys 5. We're missing the Laxey and Douglas Royal score, so if you do have it, text in 166 177, that'd be great. And Maroon 4, Peel 9. And in Combi 2, Braddon 2, Union Mills 6. We haven't got the Castletown Onchan score yet, so again, 166 177. And Colby 2, Jims 4. Moving on to the rugby, and Douglas South 20, Douglas North 17, Ramsey A 17, Vagabonds A 24, Ramsey B 47, Vagabonds Hornets 12, Vagabonds Ladies 52, Emerging Nomads 78, and Western Vikings 89, Castletown 5. And in hockey, starting in the women's prem, Valkyries A 3, Backers A 3, Valkyries B 4, Saracens 2, Ramsey 3, Harlequins 0, Castletown A 0, Vikings A 2. In the men's prem, Saracens A 4, Ramsey A 9, Vikings B 0, Valkyries A 8, Backers A 3, Vikings A 3. And we're missing the Backers B versus Harlequins A score. If you do have it, 166, 177. Thank you. Women's Division 1, Ramsey B 2, Backers C 4, Vikings B 3, Castletown B 0, Valkyries C 0, Backers B 6. And finally, in Men's Division 1, Castletown B 1, Castletown A 7, Ramsey B 4, Saracens B 2, Harlequins B 12, Backers C 1, and Backers Colts 0, Vikings C 0. And as always, we've got Tony Meppham in the studio with us today to talk through the football results. How are you today, Tony?
Fine, thank you. And it's been a bit of a rush because we've got a draw to make tonight as well. But yeah, rearranged fixtures, so not a full contingent of games. But certainly next week, we've got the two semi-finals. And we've got rearranged fixtures as well, so a lot to go for.
Should we talk through the results before we get to the big draw?
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of people waiting, but I think we should spoil it for them a little bit longer.
Good to keep people waiting.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start in the Prem. Douglas Old Boys 1, Moran 3.
Yeah, this was the game I covered, and when I got there, Matthew McCrory had given Moran the lead within 5 minutes. Penalty, no doubt about it, was a handball, and no one argued. And Matthew scored to make it 1-0. But the game was pretty even from what I saw. And then a good equaliser by Old Boys. Craig Stewart it was who got it. Good cross in from the left-hand side. And Craig managed to get past the defender. Got his foot to it, connected well, and made it 1-1. Second half was pretty even. Chances for both teams. But then second penalty, again, didn't seem to be too much discussion saying it wasn't a penalty. And Macquarie stepped up again to score his second. And as you can imagine, the crowd that was there from Moran went absolutely nuts, mm-hmm. because it was a big game for both these two sides. When you look at, you know, the bottom of Canada Life Premier League with Old Boys winning today, you know, it sort of puts them away from that danger spot, bottom three, bottom four. But there was another goal still to come, and it was Moran who got it in the last minute. I think it was McCauley who got it. So it ended up Douglas High School Old Boys 1, Moran 3.
One Corinthians 5.
Eight. Yes,
I do
yes.
apologise.
My man next to me here, which helps, I'll introduce him in a minute. We did have a correction score come in, and Sean Doyle got 4, one from the penalty spot. Dan Simpson got 2. Darren Kane got 1, and it was Kane Riding got the other one. Well, we've got Sean Doyle's dad here, so to do the draw for the Railway Cup, so we might as well ask him, how did Sun get on today? 4 goals, Steve?
It was a good game. It was probably, you know, closer than maybe the score is a fair reflection. Ayr were unlucky as well to lose their keeper early on in the game, so I think that probably took a bit of confidence out of them. I think it was always, Corinthians were very comfortable all the way through, so I think it was always going to be a Corinthians win, but I don't think you expect the score to finish 8-1. But some lovely football, and Ayr were competitive, and they'd put up a spirited performance nonetheless. And I think they're probably disappointed after the tight game from last week as well.
Yeah, it was a difficult sort of game to go into today, because last week Corinthians just won. Sean scored in the last minute to make it 3-2. Tighter pitch, so it might not have suited the way Corinthians played, but it did.
It did. Tighter pitch. The guys were competitive all the way through, and they chased every ball. And even with one or two of the goals, you know, they could have let the ball go and say, I'm not chasing it, but they never gave it. They never gave up. They chased every ball, and that even led to one or two of the goals where they chased and hunted down the ball. But and it was a good team performance. I think, you know, everybody contributed, and I think that some of the play was lovely.
Fantastic. Bit of overtime for Steve, because he's going to make the big draw later on with the Descartes Railway Cup semi-final. So we'll put that on hold a little bit longer. But yeah, good result for Corinthians. Unfortunately, I haven't got a scorer.
Moving on to Douglas Athletic Russian. Douglas Athletic 0, Russian 7.
Yeah, and it finished up 8-0. Goal came in, I think it was near enough in the last minute, by Mike Williams. But Aaron Hall is absolutely flying at the moment, because he got 2 today. Hat-trick for him off the bench last week. So well done to Aaron. He's a seasoned pro. He plays Masters football, so well done to him. Jack Snidle got a goal for Davies. He's always on the score sheet wherever he plays. He got 2 today. Jack Kamada got 1 goal, and as I say, Mikey got 2. He got 1 right in the last minute. So Russian, tremendous performance once again, and I'm sure the boys are waiting to see what the cup draw is going to come up with.
And the final game in the Prem, we've got Ramsey 3, St George's 4.
Yeah, this is the one where we were keeping in contact with Steve throughout the afternoon, but told him what was happening, because St George's needed a point. Well, he went 2 better. They got the 3 points, and good performance by them. 3-1 up at half time, so all the damage was done in the first half. Kieran McNulty again with 2. Kian Gagan, who had a brilliant performance today. Well done, Kian. He's, what is he, 25? Always remember that, because same age as my daughter. Nathan Cardi got a goal, so good performance by Geordies. Dylan Pickles with 2 for Ramsey, 1 from the penalty spot, and Luke Corlett got the other. And I'm hearing that Ramsey's goalkeeper today, 4 or 5 outstanding saves, so that score could have been a lot higher, but because he was in there, kept it down. But good win for St George's, and they go in the hat, because this game did count for the Descartes Railway Cup, so it's good to get it out of the way.
Fantastic stuff. Moving on to Division 2 and Foxdale and Braddon, that was anticipated to be a close game and it didn't disappoint. That finished 2 apiece.
Yeah, good performance. Speaking to Dave Goldsmith, and he said it was a great performance by Braddon. They were 2-0 up, Rhiann, and it was 2-2 at half time, I think. It was Foxdale, first goal scorer was Ricky Newsham, Liam Cannon got the other one. So that's points dropped by Foxdale, because when you look at it in the league, they were sixth and played 13, so they got games in hand. But those 2 points could prove massively at the end of the season. And unfortunately today, Braddon came up trumps with a good performance.
Moving on to Onchan Castletown, Onchan 4, Castletown 1 or 2?
Yeah, I think it's 2, because we've had 2 goal scorers in for Castletown. Mm-hmm. Alex Crawley got one. Tom Moore got the other one, but for Onchan it was Joe Rees with a couple of goals. Ethan Levers got one, and the old mate Bazaar English got the other one. So another good performance by Onchan. And you know, when you again you look at those league tables, you know, Onchan were fourth at lunchtime, on 29 points, was it? Yeah, and now on 32, they're climbing up there, and they're starting to worry people like Ramsey Youth Centre, Colby, and Malou, who sat it out today.
Moving on to Ramsey Youth Centre, they beat Jims 4-1.
Yeah, Jake Gartland got the goal for Jims, but for Ramsey Youth Centre, I could tell by Andy Black's voice that he was a lot happier, because the way things have gone from of late, he's not been in good shape, because he expected them to be pushing hard, Union Mills, at the top of the table. But Jason Crane with a goal, Stephen Gross got one, and Graham Kinnish it was who got the other one. And we're missing a goal scorer there, so we'll check the sheet later on, but important thing for Ramsey Youth Centre is that win.
Big win for Union Mills. They beat Pulrose 16-2.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, to be fair. I know 16-2 sounds a heck of a scoreline, but Union Mills are top. Played 14 with, 15 with 42 points. 95 goal difference up until today's game. So, you know, it's over 100 now. And today, 3 lads with hat-tricks, Ryan Kelly, Sean Traylor, Jordan Crawley, all got a hat-trick apiece, so well done to them boys. Luke Booth got a couple of goals. Sam Kane, back from injury, he got 2. Dylan Campbell got 1. And Bailey Ashton, his debut, he's just turned 16. He's a bit of a relation of mine through marriage, so well done to Bailey. And I'm pretty certain that Dad Richard will treat you to something really nice. And if he doesn't, just let me know.
Moving on to Combi 1, the Russian...
I'll give you the 2 goal scorers for Polly, if we can.
Apologize.
We don't score many. Callum Harding got 1, and Adrian Simone got the other one, and believe both goals well-deserved, so well done to Polly.
Moving on to Combi 1 and the Russian Douglas Athletic game that's been postponed. So St George's 6, Ramsey 1.
Unfortunately, that's all the information we've got on that. So if you can text us through 166 177, and we'll give the guys who scored the goals a mention.
St John's 3, Douglas Old Boys 5.
I heard that St John's were 2-0 up on this one, so great performance by Old Boys to get it back in. But Isaac Quilliam with 1, Liam Buckley, Evergreen got a goal, James Bucharest got a goal, Jake Roberts and an own goal. So it finished off a worthy win for Douglas High School Old Boys 5-3.
Still missing the score for the Laxey-Douglas Royal game.
We are, yep.
Okay, so if you do happen to have it handy, text in 166 177. And then finally in Combi 1, Moran 4, Peel 9.
And it was Joe Neal with a couple of goals for Moran. Alex Marley got 1 and Noah Dale Beaton got the other one. For Peel, Danny Lane with a couple of goals. Tom Brown with 2, well done Tom. Alex Alongo got a goal. Lucas Watterson. Now, Lucas has played in the first team. He's, 16 years of age, I think he is, and now scoring goals in the combination. Far better player than his dad was. Much, much better.
You are stirring stuff today.
With 2 other boys in there as well, then, he's done a good job. It's just a shame about his football career, but well, never mind. Alex Holden got 1. Harvey Pack got a goal. And great result for Peel. Keeps the pressure on at the top of the table, but there's an awful big collapse going to have to happen with Corinthians to allow Peel back in, because Corinthians have played 14 for 42 and Peel have played 15 now for 32. So 10 points, but Corinthians will have a game in hand.
And then finally in Combi 2, we've got Braddon 2, Union Mills 6.
And the goal scorers for Union Mills, Jack Murray with a hat-trick, Andrew Maxwell with 2, Jackson Gatt got the other one, Adam Fair from the penalty spot, well done Adam, and Josh Brew got the other one.
Still missing Castletown versus Duncan.
Yep.
And then so that leaves us with Colby 2, Jims 4.
And it was 1-0 to Jims at half time. Ross Crawford, normally playing in the first team in the Combi today, he got a couple of goals. Shane McCormick got one, and Darren Christopher got the other. For Colby, it was Josh Glover and Lewis Dean who got the two important goals for them, but it wasn't enough to take the points away from Jims.
And we've just had a text in for the Combi 1 game, St John's versus Douglas Old Boys, and St John's scorers were Liam Sale with 2, and I think he got a penalty as well, and also Harry Rothwell.
Oh my word, I work with Liam, so there'll be about 40 yarders by Monday comes or whatever. Well done, Liam.
Okie dokie. So let's move on to this big cup draw. So the Railway Cup is one of the biggest cup competitions in Manx football, with the final being played on Boxing Day. The semi-final includes the top four teams at the halfway stage of the season. This year promises to have two terrific games, with Corinthians, Rushen, St Mary's and St George's all qualifying for the semi-finals. This year's competition will be sponsored by new sponsors Descartes. The semi-final draw will be made by Stephen Doyle, who you heard just earlier. Tony Muffin, would you like to take it away?
I certainly would. Just firstly, I'd like to thank Steve on behalf of the Isle of Man Football Association for taking up the sponsorship. It's a huge trophy, massive. Steve had some pictures taken the other day, and Steve, welcome to sponsoring Manx Football. How did it come about?
Thanks, Tony. Well, it's really my chance, really. Obviously, I love the competition. I love the Boxing Day camaraderie and get out after Christmas Day. And it was a conversation by chance just to say, when was the draw taking place? Had you got your four teams? And I heard there was still no sponsor. So had a word with my co-directors, Pam and Paul, and our group, and said wouldn't mind getting involved. I think it's been a tough year for everybody and for a lot of sporting clubs and associations and lack of funding. And everybody said, yeah, keen to give it a go. So I was delighted, and we're delighted to be involved.
It's a great way to put money back into the community, because Rhiann's involved in sports, Sam as well, to my right. And, you know, all sports are looking for sponsors. And I'm not saying business have got their part to play, but they can do it. And it's a great way to just help the sports out, who most sports, I think, now are struggling for money.
It's not just that. I mean, I think everybody, kids should all get involved in sport. I play sport, Mary plays sport, and all our boys have tried their hands at different sport. And, you know, I think it's great for kids, great outlet, great for the mental stimulation, great for camaraderie and friendship with kids. And we make lifelong friends, as my guys have seen as well. So to get involved, and, you know, particularly with the year that we've had in it, where people can't travel, they're looking for things to do, looking to get out. We're blessed to be over here where we can get together.
Absolutely.
And we can get a lot of people down at the bowl to watch a competition. So yeah, it was a great opportunity to jump at it.
Brilliant. And it's my favourite day of the year. I really do. I don't mind Christmas Day, but Boxing Day is my day.
Tina Christmas
lets me
day.
Go. And there's many, many times that I've been down to that bowl before it was Astro to clear snow off it, just to get a game of football on, and you enjoy the game, and then afterwards go and have a beer, go and have some bubble and squeak at home for tea, and then just collapse. But let's get everyone out of the misery. Steve, you've got the bag there with four balls in it.
Shake my balls, don't
we? Yeah, give them a good shake. Give them a good shake. And
I'll say good luck. Good luck to all four teams.
Exactly.
I think any one of the teams would be worthy winners, and I've obviously got friends in all four teams, so someone's going to give me grief with a draw.
Well, it is, because your son Connor obviously won this trophy many, many times for St George's. We've got your other son involved at Corinthians. You've got friends at Rushen and St Mary's.
So well, yeah.
I think you're going to lose some friends, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Right, let's have the first one.
Pull out the first one. Number three,
and that's a home tie for St George's.
We'll play number two.
Number two is Rushen. So the first tie in the Descartes Railway Cup semi-finals to be played next week, Rhiann, is St George's at home against Rushen.
Next out of the bag, home, number four.
Number four is St Mary's, so that one will be played at the bowl.
Leaves us to play number one.
And hopefully that is Corinthians. So the two semi-final games next week in the Descartes Railway Cup is St George's against Rushen and St Mary's at home against Corinthians.
What are you expecting from those games?
Well, two of the league leaders, if you like, which is Corinthians and Rushen, have been kept apart. St George's at the moment, I know today, They were missing Sean Quay, who's suspended now. I would think Sean will be suspended next week. I think he got a couple of games. So that's a big, big loss for them. Huge player. With Russian at the moment, they're gathering momentum. You can see the performances of late and scoring plenty of goals. St Mary's against Corinthians, they met only 2 or 3 weeks ago. I watched that game. It was a great footballing game. St Mary's are good enough to beat the Whites, but Whites at the moment are playing really well, scoring plenty of goals. Would you agree with that, Steve?
I think it's a good draw. Hope Lane's happy with the way it's worked out. But I think Corinthians, yeah, will probably be happy with the draw as well and be confident after the last game against St Mary's. But it's 2 one-off games, so anything can happen.
Well, it is, and it's the pressure of the day. And their earlier kick-offs now, one of these won't, because the bowl's only available at 2.30 to play for St Mary's games. So that one will kick off at 2.30. But the St George's against Russian, I think it's down for 1.30 because there's no floodlights there. So two cracking semi-finals. We'll work on the rearranged fixtures for the rest of the games tonight. We'll try and get them out tonight if we can. But if not, it'll be first thing in the morning so everyone knows where they're going.
Exciting stuff. Thank you very Brilliant. Much, Tony Metham. And thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Rob.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
We're moving on to hockey now. How are you, Sam Spooner?
Yeah, not too bad. Got here just in time.
A little bit sweaty. How was your game?
It was good. It was tough. Toe-to-toe, young players on show and some old players that I still look up to as a 34-year-old semi-retired, well, trying to retire
no.
hockey player. I can't stop myself. So, but yeah, no, it was a really good game. I left about 15 minutes towards the end so I can get here, but
Thank
didn't
you,
change
I
the score.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
It's all right.
Okay, let's start in the women's prem. And big result for Bakaze. Valkyries 3, Bakaze 3.
Yeah, and you know what? Bakaze, they might not be in the title chase, but they always seem to have a say on the destination of the title. Mm. And this is their say this year. Now, Valkyries, you'd expect them to beat Bakaze fairly convincingly, but last week's performance, you could see that they'd got better and better. It was just a little bit of fitness towards the end of the game where Vikings sort of upped it a bit. This week, they didn't let that affect them. 3-all of Valkyries. Their goal scorers of Valkyries were Jess Loder, Sienna Dunn and Leanne Prescott. Bakaze, Sam Hassel 2 and Lucy Quine. And it does now put Valkyries 3 points behind Vikings, but still to play Vikings twice. So they could still get 4 points out of it. So it's an important result. Mm-hmm. But it's still in Valkyries' hands.
Okay. Moving on, we've got Valkyries beat 4, Saracens 2.
Good performance from Saracens. Mm. It shows improvement again. I think at the start of the season there were probably a personnel issues, but now they've got their heads in the right place and they're actually competing with teams that they weren't previously before. Valkyries beat, really good result for them. It just continues to show that they deserve to be in this league and they're challenging. The established order. Goal scorers are Florence Barber with 2, Emma Miller and Lisa Pugh for the Valkyries. Saracens was Lucy Farragut and Dulcie Tia.
Then we have Ramsey 3, Harlequins 0.
This is a big performance from Harlequins. I actually expect them to get beaten by quite a lot. You know, when you've conceded 81 goals in 8 games, and they've already played all these sides once already, you'd kind of expect them to probably lose by a few more, but actually it's a really good performance from them. And it just shows they've just not stopped fighting. Ramsey, though, they've had a disappointing start to the season and they really want to kick on. And they seem to be doing that now. They're grinding results out that previously may have gone against them. But nice win for them. Charlotte Oldfield, Vic Garner and Christina Kameen on the score sheet for Ramsey.
And then finally in the women's prem, Castletown 0, Vikings 2.
Monumental performance from Castan A's defence here today. Apparently there is, probably a bit of an exaggeration, but they said, the text message said around 35 short corners or penalty corners.
Wow.
And Castan A were able to keep them out. And Vikings A, they've always got a goal in them. And Kim Carney, Zoe Crowe on the score sheet, the sisters there for Vikings A, put some 3 points clear at the top. But Castan A, really proud of themselves for that.
Good. Moving on to the men's prem, and we have Saracens 8, 4, Ramsey 9.
Again, this shows improvement from Saracens 8. It seems to be all-out attack for both sides here. Excuse me. George Powell with a hat-trick, and that's his first hat-trick this year. And Andrew Wynne-Stanley, the old boy in that Saracens 8 team now. Ramsey A, though, they've improved as well. They start the season, I have to say, really poorly. And, you know, if based on their form in the past two or three games, you'd probably say they were good enough for top four. But they didn't start too well. Ramsey A's goal scorers were Jan Kane with two, Sam Moffat with two, John Gower Jackson with two, Alex Neil, Tom Titsos and Sam Robertson all with one.
Then we've got Vikings B 0, Valkyries A 8.
Yeah, Valkyries A, they move into second place now, owing to other results. Robin Masson with three, although I have to say this, his captain did tell me that it should have been 12, but we'll gloss over the misses. He's got a well-earned hat trick there. Ollie Webster and Greg Miller, Conan Kameen and Luis Novo-Smith on the score sheet for Valkyries A.
And then the next game was the most anticipated one in the men's prem, Backers A versus Vikings A, and that also finished 3-3.
Yeah, and you know what? Vikings A just cannot get over the line with Backers. Mm. You know, that's in the past four games, that's three draws. 1-1, 2-2, 4-1 loss, 3-3.
What do they need to do?
Backers just... Vikings are training hard, they're working hard, and their concentration over the past few weeks has been really good. It's improved, especially after that loss to Valkyries A. That sort of shocked them into action. It does mean that Backers A are in command now. Unless the Valkyries A can turn them over twice, they're pretty much nailed on to be champions in my eyes. Vikings A, they have to rely on Backers A losing another point somewhere, probably against the likes of Valkyries A. But Vikings A can be proud of that performance today, but they just need to go one step further, that one extra goal or that, you know, that one extra save, and they can do it.
And perfectly timed, we just had a text in for the Backers B, Harlequins A score. Backers B 5, Harlequins A 1. And the text says, Harlequins scorer was our very own Chris Cave, and that the scoreline doesn't reflect how close the match was.
Yeah, and you know, Harlequins A, again, they're one of those sides that have been improving as the season's gone on. It's very much a consolidation year for them. 91 goals in 8 games they've conceded. It's now 96-9. It represents improvement for them. Backers B, you know, a good result for them, 5-1. I haven't got the Backers B goal scorers, I don't think.
They have just come through this very second. We've got Craig Lees with 2, Kian Ledwidge, Sean Corlett and Elliot Reid.
Yeah, Elliot Reid's a really good young player. He's a first-team player as well, but under 18, so he can play both. And he's, I will say that he is my favourite young player as it stands now. Luis Novo-Smith was, but he's too old now. Elliot Reid is my favourite young player.
Why
he's just
he
got
your
such
favorite?
A good attitude on the pitch, and he's a really nice guy off it as well.
Good. Moving on to the women's Div 1, and we've got Ramsey B 2, Backers C 4.
Yeah, big result for Backers C. They go clear of the bottom of the table, so they move up. They now go on 4 points, 3 points clear of Ramsey B. Lizzie Quayle with 2 for Ramsey B. Sandra Moore, Ellie Harris with 2, with 1 each, and Lou Meller with 2 for Backers C.
Then we have Vikings B 3, Castletown B 0.
A big, big shout out to Danny Coombs, the umpire here today. I noticed Jess Bircher is desperately hunting for an umpire after a last minute dropout due to, unforeseen circumstances. And literally just before the game, Danny Coombs has stepped up to umpire 2 today and playing her own game, I'm guessing, as well. So she's had a really busy day. So kudos to Danny Coombs and thank you very, very much. I had a shout out at lunchtime. It meant Jess Birch was able to captain the Vikings B side rather than umpire, and she scored today alongside Morven Smith and Ellen Barlow.
And then finally in Women's Div 1, we've got Valkyries C 0, Backers B 6.
Yeah, and the message I got was Valkyries C were a bit shocked by the result almost, but Backers B did deserve the result. Valkyries C, you know, now they are 3 points behind Backers B. They do still have a game in hand. And they are still in a title race, but it's a big, big loss for them. They could have gone top if they'd won both their games in hand. But they still have a chance. Backers B's heroes today were Sam Franklin with 2, Martha Broderick, Charlotte Fisher, Liv Knight and Isabella Craig. All we want.
Were you expecting that game to be closer, considering Valkyries C were only 1 point behind Backers B?
I did, because Valkyries C have been the surprise package this season. But it seems past couple of games, they haven't quite had... what they need going forward. They've always been defensively strong, but Backers B, they really turned up today. At times, they have struggled going forward. You know, and I think a part of that is, you know, their first team maybe taking their players as a B team. It's very hard to get consistency with a team. But they've got their best squad out today, and that's what's earning the win.
And it's shame. Moving on to the men's Division 1. And these were all rearranged fixtures from Hoptune for the 31st of October. So we have Castletown B 1, Castletown A 7.
Yeah, expected result. You know, Castletown, the Castletown derbies are always a bit spicy. But Mark Bolton on the score sheet for Castletown B. And he earned man of the match as well. Castletown A, Christian Stereopoulos for the 4. He's been scoring for fun recently. You know, 2, 3, 4 goals every game. Paul Kelly, the young Joe Savage, who's been very, very impressive when I've seen him this season, and Cam Blamey on the score sheet there, puts Castletown A on 14 points.
Then we have Ramsey B 4, Saracens B 2, and we had a message in saying this was a very clean game.
Yeah, and you know what? I did not expect that result. And there's a couple of unexpected things here, actually. And Ramsey B, they've got some of their old players back. And Richard Spate, the captain, did turn around and say that, you know, they've played this week, they're going to be broken for a few weeks now. But they've got their full squad out today. Gwyn Davies with 2. Keith Corkle, who's another one of those sorts of players who, no matter what, he's getting older and older day by day now, but he's still got that speed of thought and those quick hands. And their first team goalkeeper, Christopher Wells, played outfield today and got on the score sheet for Ramsey B. Saracens B, welcome back, Kyle Kane. It's been a few years since I've said that. He's got on the score sheet today. And Christian Davies on the score sheet as well.
Then we have Harlequins B versus Backers C. And that was a Harlequins win 12-1. But these two were on the same points in the league table at the start of today.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Harlequins B have struggled, again, for consistency. When you look at the young players they've got on their side, some of them have been playing first team and maybe they're clashed, so their under-18s can't play both games. But today there was no clash. Joe Middleton with a huge 7 goals. Could have spread that out a bit, but, you know, well done. All the same, 7 goals is nothing to be snubbed. Ben Cunningham with 2, David Smith with 2, Aaron Blakemore. And back at C, I think it was Ian Wrigley.
And then last, but by no means least, we've got your game. So Packers, Colts, nil, Vikings, C, nil.
And it wasn't from what we tried for Vikings, C. You know, Packers, Colts had their opportunities, but they weren't quite as clear cut as some of Vikings, C's. It was just a game. It was just a case of being unable to finish and experience in front of goal, really. Mm-hmm. You know, that cool head. But it was a real good game, real physical in the middle of the park. I know I've got the scars and the bruises to show
I've
for
seen
it.
Seen them.
Joe Corlett today, though, I have to say, he's 13 years old, playing in nets against a senior team with some real senior players in there. And he put off probably Vikings C's best striker, came out and met him well. His positional sense was brilliant, brave as anything. And from a 13-year-old goalkeeper, you don't see that very often. So really well done to him. He's one for the future. And the young Lucas Harding was outstanding at right back today for Backers Colts, who's by far and away the man of the match.
Brilliant stuff, exciting times for the future. And then just quickly, we've had a couple texts in, thank you very much, from the under-16s mixed league. So we have Ramsey nil, Vikings 7.
Scores for Vikings were Kyle Gunion with 3, Becca Kelly, Cameron Room, watch that name. His dad was an all right player, but Cameron Room's been brilliant at training the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Ben Dougal with 1. And a big thanks out to the umpires, Sandra Smith and Millie Gale. And the other game was
Harlequins 1, Castletown 2.
I think I've got that one here. Yeah, Quinn scorer is Callum Crellin.
Brilliant. And that's all I've got from the under-16s results. So if you do happen to have any of the others, is it just one other game in the under-16s?
Yeah, it's 3 games total for the under-16s.
Yeah, so if you have the third result, do text in 166177. And just before you go, Sam Spooner, we're introducing something new, which came from us just talking about whether you listen to a pre-match song or playlist to get yourself pumped up before a game. And Sam has an incredibly eclectic mix. So
That's one way to put it.
That is one way to put it. So at the end of the show, we're going to pick Sam's song, which he told me about. I'll reveal it later at the end. But can you just give people a reason behind this choice?
It's just one of those things. It's a folk song. I'm not normally, when you say eclectic, I say weird. But it's one of those things. It's just one of those songs that I just can't stop moving my legs to. They just want to bounce. And it's a good way for me to get in the mood before a hockey match. It's not too pacey that your blood gets pumping and you start a game, you know, chasing every ball down like a rabid dog. But no, it's one of those that just gets you moving and gets your blood pumping whilst you're driving along.
Excellent. Well, I will play that song to finish the show today. And thank you very much, Sam Spooner.
Thank you very much.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
Now, Dave Christian has been very patiently waiting in the wings to talk rugby, and what was expected to be a very, very, very exciting matchup between Douglas North and Douglas South certainly didn't disappoint. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, not bad, and don't worry about waiting. I've had time to type up my match reports.
Oh, good.
little bonus for me, little bonus.
Good, that's what I like to hear.
What a game it was at Portici. Going into the game, Douglas North had the opportunity to perhaps take the title if and only if they won. They scored four tries and won by a margin of 7 points or more and prevented Douglas South from scoring four tries. So it was looking unlikely given how close the game was the first time the two sides met, and this afternoon it wasn't too much different. Early on, it looked like Douglas North were going to take it. They went in for two tries in the first 14 minutes, one from Kyle Martin, one from Charlie Henthorne. There was a conversion in there as well from Jack Shimmin. And a 12-0 up with quarter of an hour gone, you were thinking, right, this could be quite a big score. But Douglas South came straight back into it. Their forwards got going. Ralph Clark went over for a try just before 20 minutes. That was converted by Josh Duncan. And on 24 minutes, Christian Moore went in, another one through the forwards from close range. That levelled the score at 12-12. On the half-hour mark, Douglas North went ahead again. This time it was Kyle Martin's pace down the left wing, and he put a big full-length stretch out just to get the ball onto the line. That made it 17-12, and that's how it was at half-time. You still got the feeling that Douglas North were the stronger of the two sides. But in the second half, John Dutnell went over for Douglas South. A quick tap penalty before the North defence had time to reorganise. That levelled the score at 17-all just after 10 minutes into the second half. And the rest of the second half was pretty much stalemate till we had a final flurry of action in the last 2 minutes. Started off with a penalty opportunity for Jack Shimmin. That was with 2 minutes to play for Douglas North. His kick went just wide of the left-hand post. The following minute, Bryn Snellgrove, also for Douglas North, he had a shot at a drop goal from just outside the 22. That went wide of the right-hand post. Douglas South then took a breakaway. Joe Corkish drove it up the middle, earned them a penalty just outside the Douglas North 22, and Will Kane stepped up to bang the penalty through with the very last kick of the game, steal the points, a Douglas South win 20 points to 17. And I'm just looking at the league table now. Douglas North lead 25 points, but only 3 points behind them are Douglas South and Vagabonds, and we'll talk about Vagabonds in a minute. Vagabonds have only got one game left, though. They have to win that. It's against Douglas North as well. So that's going to be a cracker. I can't remember the date for that one just at the top of my head, but it'll be in the next couple of weeks. If Vagabonds win that one, they've got an opportunity to perhaps take the title. But Douglas South and Douglas North have both got two games each left, and they're looking likely to be one of those sides that's going to win it. The magic number at the moment is 32 points, so Douglas North now need to win both of their last remaining games to be certain of the title. They play Southern Nomads next week. Southern Nomads are bottom and haven't won yet, so the writing on the wall a little bit there, but remember Southern Nomads held Douglas North to 19 points to 7 down at Ballykillia a few weeks back, and if they pull their socks up a little bit, they shouldn't be too far away. But you fancy Douglas North are still in charge, but everything's got a little bit closer than it was before this afternoon. Up at the Murrick Park, that's where Vagabonds were this afternoon. They played Ramsey. Vagabonds dominated pretty much from start to finish, although Ramsey had a little bit of a purple period towards the end, almost got their way back into it. Vagabonds finished up winning 24 points to 17, and it was 19-5 at half-time. Tries in the first half for Vagas from Chris Kay, Nathan Gibson and Mark Oldfield, plus three conversions from Lucas Simmons, with Rory Nicholson getting the try for Ramsey just to keep them in tow on his birthday as well, so happy birthday to him. In the second half, Luke Purdy went over for Vagabonds. That gave them their try bonus point, only their second one of the season. A late Ramsey fight back from seeing Rory Nicholson pick up his second of the afternoon, and there was another try for Ramsey. We don't have the scorer for that at the moment. I'm working on that still, but Dan Bonwick added the conversion. That gave Ramsey a losing bonus point. point, but they were out of the hunt for the title anyway, so it didn't really matter too much in the great scheme of things. So a fair play to Vagabonds. It's made it very interesting now at the top of that Manx trophy table.
It does sound very, very interesting in the trophy. So let's have a little skeet at the Manx Bowl. So we have Ramsey B 47, Vagabonds Hornets 12.
Yeah, and that was a big win for Ramsey B, who are the form team at the moment. They lost their opening two games. They've now won their last five on the trot. They're in third place in the standings, 7 points behind the joint leaders, which are Vagabonds Hornets and Emerging Nomads. But Ramsey have got a game in hand, and it is against Vagabonds Hornets as well. Take that game in hand, and Ramsey are going to be pretty close to the top end of the table, assuming they win it, of course. We don't have a date for that game yet. Hopefully round about the 9th of January, I think, is what we got it penciled in for. This afternoon, though, Ramsey dominated pretty much from start to finish. Jake Richmond, only his third senior game, he ran a second hat-trick in a row. He got a hat-trick last week, so that's 7 tries in 3 games for him. There are also tries for Ramsey from Abu Magoda, Owen Bevan, Jared May, Tynan Pritchard, Jim Lantry and Ali Kenyuk, with one conversion from Dara Pilkington. For Vaggers, tries from Chris Neal and Ben Swindlehurst kept them in the hunt till probably about 10 minutes into the second half, and Tom Rowley added a conversion in there as well. Elsewhere in the bowl, Western Vikings put in a huge score against Castletown at QE2. 57-5 it was at half-time after an opening blitz from Western Vikings. There were 3 tries from Liam Sweeney and Ed Knight and Sam Tarpey, all getting hat-tricks there. And also 2 tries for prop Josh Hockney, and also tries from Harry Goodwin, Jack Goodwin, Peter Beaumont, Kieran Stevens and Ryan Burke converting 7 of those. For Castletown, Kunal Patel, the only try scorer, he picked up that in the first half. And in the final game of the afternoon, Vagabonds Ladies and Emerging Nomads, it was the Emerging Nomads who came out winners there, 78 points to 52. The tag rugby always picks up big scores. And for Nomads, we've got 3 tries from Tony Quinn, Harry Brereton and Harry Whitehouse. Also tries from Finn McGregor, Simon Chadwick, Dan Bridle, Jake Wormsley and Janine Cubbin and Mikey Crane. Oh, sorry, and Harry Wallace as well, just ran off the bottom line. Also, conversions from Quinn, Whitehouse, McGregor and Wallace. For Vaggers, there were 3 from Sophie Henry. There were also 2 from Maylin Campbell and Alana Pritchard, and 1 each from Becky Dunn, Daisy Sewell and Joe McCabe.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you very much, Dave Christian. And from one exciting thing to another, entries for next year's Parish Walk will open at midnight on the 1st of December. The event starts at the National Sports Centre at 8 a.m. on Saturday, the 19th of June. This year's edition was cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Race director Ray Cox says organisers have used the time to come up with some new additions, including an app.
It was a unanimous decision very much from the word go. Our main problem was dealing with the logistics of it. How are we going to announce it? What are we going to do with all the entries? We had a real headache with obviously everybody enters on credit card through a third party who couldn't do any refunds. So I was left with this massive sort of challenge logistically how we were going to deal with 1,000 entrants. But as I said, over 500 of them elected to roll over, which was great, that halved the workload straight away. But we had to organise refund checks to all the other 500 that wished to have their money back. So that was a big headache. But I think under the circumstances at the time, absolutely the right decision. But of course, the ironic thing was on June the 20th, there were no restrictions on walking on the roads on the Isle of Man. There were no restrictions on meeting in groups. So therefore, de facto, we could have had the race this year.
You weren't to know that, though,
but
were
no.
you?
And we actually went to lunch. The committee, we went out to lunch in the Craignavagh on the 20th and sat down at noon and said we would all be doing all our jobs and whatever. And we said, that's the way it is. But we've used the downtime wisely.
I was just going to ask you, has it given you a chance to have a period of reflection and deconstruct the event and put it back together again?
Absolutely.
Scenario?
Very much so. because we had that downtime, you start to think laterally about things, and you know, we had a lot of different suggestions and we analysed them. So we've got some really exciting new developments. The usual things like increased road closures, increased runways for safety, they're always at the top of the list. But we've also got a new app which we'll be launching, and this is going to be all the everything you need to know about following the parish walk. Feed stations and toilets and times for road closures, etc., etc., etc. It's a really good app, and that's going to be launched. And we're going to have a big fan zone in Patrick, courtesy of ELS. And, you know, that's going to be very exciting. So we've got lots of things that we've used the months that we haven't been busy with other things to plan and to think.
Race director Ray Cox there. And just a quick reminder, entries for next year's Parish Walk, Parish Walk 2021, will open at midnight on the 1st of December.
We like sports, so we don't care who knows.
Football,
tennis, hockey. Netball now, and it's a bye week for the seniors, who will no doubt be celebrating not having to get up before 9 a.m. on a Sunday. So this week is all about the juniors. So I've got a list of tomorrow's games for you in case you would like to go down and support. Starting with the under-17s, they get underway at 9 a.m. at the NSC, and that will be with Castletown Jets versus Ballasalla 1. At 10 o'clock at the NSC, Thompson White take on Ballasalla 4. 10 o'clock at Bemahague, Manx Gems Corals take on Ramsey Blacks. 11 a.m. at the NSC, Ramsey Scarlet take on Ballasalla 3, and at midday at Bemahague, Simcox Crown Eagles take on Ballasalla 2. In the under-14s Division 1, and 9 o'clock at Bemahague, the Manx Gems Diamonds take on Thompson Tigers. 11 a.m. at Bemahague, Castletown Rockets take on Ballasalla A. And finally, in Division 2, we have 9 o'clock at Bemahague, Thompson Cats take on Simcox Booted Eagles. 10 o'clock at Bemahague, Castletown Rockets take on Ballasalla A. And 11 o'clock also at Bemahague's Ramsey Crimson take on Manx Gems Crystals. And then there's an under-14s Division 3 tournament from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the NSC on both courts tomorrow. So best of luck to all those players. And if you do know people playing or have an idea of the teams, if you do go down and support, it can make a world of difference having people cheering you on from the sidelines. So very best of luck to all the juniors on tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Celebrity Showbiz Quiz, Shooting Stars.
That is the incorrect Shooting Stars jingle. But speaking of Shooting Stars, a local brother-sister duo has been chosen for the 2020-2021 British Shooting Pistol Talent Pathway, and not for the first time. Catherine and Joshua Holden are the Shooting Stars selected. Josh has been on British Shooting's programme for 2 years, and Catherine was first selected last year. I spoke to both Kath and Josh earlier this week.
So I've been on the programme for 2 years now. This will be my third year on the programme. I got selected first just after my 13th birthday, where I was picked up from, I was scouted from the school's pistol championship.
I was scouted a year ago after 1 year I've already been on it for, and I was scouted at the same competition.
That's brilliant. So it's fantastic that you both were scouted. So it wasn't even that you were kind of aiming for that pathway. That's really cool. So what does the pathway entail? How is it?
So it's a training program. Usually it would involve traveling away every 6 weeks and doing a full weekend of face-to-face training, but of course at the minute we can't exactly do that. So at the minute a lot of it is going to be online training, training from home, that sort of thing.
And how do you find adapting to the online training? Can you still sort of keep sharp and keep your skills up to date?
It's different, but you can do a lot of training at home. It's very flexible.
What have been the highlights of your shooting career so far, would you say?
For me, my highlight would definitely be getting the bronze in the Island Games in Gibraltar last year. That was definitely my biggest achievement in the sport.
And how were your nerves going through that?
My nerves at the beginning, you know, when I first got to Gibraltar, I was quite nervous. But once I got through the training days and once I got to the competition, it was actually quite a relaxed environment. So, well, it wasn't too bad. I did shoot a two, but I brought it back, so that was okay.
Can you explain to those of us who don't know what you shot a two means? Can you explain that to us?
So in shooting, obviously there's a target and there are rings. The highest you can shoot is a 10. The lowest you can shoot is a zero, or you can miss. You have 60 shots, and the highest you can get is 600, because, you know, 60 tens. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I shot a two, hit the two ring.
But you brought it back.
I did, yeah.
And that's even more exciting, really. Everyone loves an underdog.
It was. When that happened, I was sort of... There was a little bit of a rut. I saw that shot, and I did get quite nervous, but I came back and refocused and brought it back.
Catherine, what about you, career highlights?
Mine would have to be back in March this year. I was at the Scottish Championships and I came third in the under 21 women's.
That's fantastic. And how old are you?
14.
14 and you came third in the under 21s.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And I would imagine it takes a lot of, like you say, focus. And, you know, when you're nervous and your hands can shake, you really need to be able to master that. So what are your sort of techniques for getting around shaky hands in competitions?
I'd say it's all about the breathing, just keeping calm. And often I listen to music before the competition as well, just to stay relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keeping a low heart rate is really important. So, like Catherine said, listening to music, deep breaths. I find drinking water just distracts me from the shooting and focusing. Mm-hmm. And then also a lot of exercise outside of shooting really helps with that too.
Good. So you've both achieved so much by this age. What are you aiming for in the future?
I think it'd be great to go to the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, for me, ultimately, the top goal will be the Olympics.
Yeah.
Somewhere down the line.
That's amazing. What age are you kind of aiming for Commonwealth and Olympic dreams?
Really depends how it all goes, I guess. It depends how quickly I improve and progress and how much I train, ultimately. What else sort of comes up? Hopefully, probably mid-20s is when I'd be aiming to do that.
I'd be about the same there, mid-20s.
Mm-hmm. What happens in the meantime with, as you touched on, COVID and the borders, you can't get away for this training programme. So what's the next step, or is it kind of just wait and see and train as much as you can?
Well, training would be via calls, and then you can do stuff at home by yourself as well. And they are running online competitions, which you can do from home.
Oh, fantastic. Right, okay, so people just basically have the setup. I'm assuming it would have to meet rules and regulations, and then,
yeah,
like you say, it's just done over video.
Yeah, so that is Zoom calls.
Yeah.
They'll give us, you know, set training programs for us to do at our home ranges or even at home, depending sort of what sort of setup you have. And then, yeah, online competitions and online training with regulated setups and things.
Let's look right back to the start. What made you get into shooting in the first place?
Well, that'd be you, my dad. Yeah, family. Yeah.
Are you a shooter yourself?
Yeah, I shoot.
Okay, so it runs in the family.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So what would your top tips be for someone who might be listening to this and would quite like to give shooting a go?
Oh, if they want to get into shooting, I'd probably tell them to get into contact with a club. Mm-hmm. And it's quite easy, really, get in contact with a club. They'll invite you down. You try a bit of shooting out, and obviously to start off with, you don't go straight into training. You just give it a bit of a go, get used to it. And then maybe after a couple of months of trying it, you'd start training properly.
Josh and Catherine Holden there, a huge congratulations to them and brilliant interviewees, I must say. And finally, after a successful first run of a brand new competition, Isle of Man Short Mat Bowls has confirmed a second edition of the Isle of Man Singles League. Round two will see it grow from 8 players in one division to 16 players in two divisions, with the bottom two players in the top division relegated to Division 2 and the top two players in Division 2 promoted. League days start on Monday the 25th of January. A full list of dates can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Play will get underway at 6:30pm and the last game of the night will finish at 9:30. The entry fee is £15, which has to be paid before your first match, and entries are on a first come, first served basis. So for more information or to enter, email Stephen Gale, that's StephenGale at manxshortmatbowls.com. But again, that email address can be found on the story at manxradio.com on our sports page. That's all for today. I do hope you have a lovely Saturday night and an excellent weekend. And I am going to leave you with Sam Spooner's first sports song of the week. They may be giants. We'll be right back.
Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul. Now Constantinople, so you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. So take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Now Constantinople, gone to Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.